way that can happen is if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You might be having a good day, but when you step off to eternity, if you do not know Christ as Savior, you'll spend eternity in hell. So I know it is well with my soul. I hope you're doing well today. Good to see you. Good to have visitors here with us this morning. Good to have returning visitors as well. And we're thankful that you have come to visit with us and get to know us. We hope to see you back here. It's good to have Brother Chase and his grandson in with us. Thank you. And a friend of his with her. Good to have William Mendoza. Y'all pray for him. The Navy has accepted him into the service. And he'll be headed off to the Navy. And so thankful for that. We love our military around here and our police officers and first responders, our nurses, our school teachers. We love Bugs Bunny. We just love. We love all of you. No, seriously, thank you all. All veterans, all servicemen and women. William, thank you. We're praying for you. Appreciate you filling that gap for us and going into the service that way. Let's do this. This evening at the VBS meeting, let's move that back to 5:30. 5:30 with nursing home. It's going to be tight. People's going to be tired. They have to stop by 7-Eleven and get a big gulp. So they need time to make all those changes. So let's have VBS at 5:30. Now, it's an important meeting. It really is. It's the last one before we actually start. So if you're in VBS, we do need you here so we can go over some things and fill out the end of the program meeting. Whatever I'm saying, you just need to be here. It's required in stores that a man be found faithful. So come be a part of it. We need everybody that's going to be here. And we do pray about the nursery list. That'd be a big help there if you would do that. Psalms chapter 56 this morning. Psalms chapter 56. And I know I confused Brother Jim thoroughly with the time frame, but I think he got it right. Sunday evening, just be here 30 minutes early. Wednesday evening, be here 30 minutes late. For some of you, you'll be on time. So, and just stay where you're at, because if you set your clock back, you'll be here at 8:15. So you just stay where you're at and be here at 7:30. Everybody else at your vacation Bible school, 6:30 throughout the week. And we'll keep hammering that. Brother Jim, I'll talk to you about that Wednesday night, and then again Sunday morning next week, we'll remind everybody. Psalm 56, let's read the whole chapter, if you would, this morning. Be merciful unto me, O God. For man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. Verse 6. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou fellest my wanderings. But thou, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Verse 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall I mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? This morning I'm going to talk to you about something that is probably more real than many of us would like to admit, And that is personal fear. Personal fear. Now the psalmist here, the musician upon Mithraim of David, when he was overtook by the Philistines, he wrote this psalm. And as he wrote this psalm, it was a struggle with real fear. His enemies had surrounded him, and most of us, I'm not talking about enemies like this that would surround us, but I'm talking about other fears that we have that are real fears. Let me tell you something. In my life, I have learned that fear is the very enemy of my faith. When I'm afraid to take that next step, it renders my faith useless. So fear of failing, fear of disappointing, fear of making the wrong choice, fear of man, whether I would please them or not. And as these fears come into our life and they overwhelm us, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, it robs us of the best of our life. I could ask each and every one of you to stand up, and I think we could start over here with Brother Ray and go all the way around the room, and each and every one of us could stand up and testify that there is something in our lives that brings great fear. It brings tremendous fear in our life. Well, this morning as we look at this psalm and we study it through and we travel through the Word of God, we're going to learn that trusting God and trading fear for faith brings tremendous peace. Now, the peace of God that all of us need. The Bible says the peace of God passes all understanding. You know, the Bible teaches us that we should not fear. Many times throughout Scripture, you'll note that the Bible says, and be not afraid. And so we can gain victory through these different things in our life. Now, the first thing I'd have you to notice in verse number 1 and 2 is that the psalmist faced the fearful prospects of his life. And for him, it was men. It was the enemy. He said, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. And for the psalmist, as he wrote, he was writing about the people that wanted to destroy him, the Philistines that had gathered around and encamped him. As David stood there and began to fight for the nation of Israel, he understood that his enemy was real. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you, we in our minds, we try to pretend like these fears are not real. Like if we pretend they're not there, they'll go away. They'll just disappear. But I'm here to tell you, dear friend, that fear will oppress you. Fear of doing, fear of trying, fear of wanting to do right, but not doing right because it might not be pleasing to those around you, will arrest you, will paralyze you. How many of you have ever heard the saying, like a deer in the headlights? That deer comes running across the road, he looks at you, and you're at night, and the lights hit him in the eyes. Many times what will happen, the deer will do what? Simply freeze. Will just freeze. And so, like a deer, like when something, whatever it is, hits you, it will oppress you, it will seize you up, it will cause you to be paralyzed, and we've all experienced fear in our life at some point that would oppress us. Some of you could stand up right now and say, right this very moment, I have some real financial fears in my life. There's some things in my life, if I don't get this right, or I don't do this right, and if I don't, if I'm not careful here, if I drink more than 6 ounces of water by the end of the day, I'm going to be broke. And real fear. You know, ever heard this here? The month doesn't meet, the paycheck doesn't meet the month. You make a paycheck here and you got a bill here. Have you ever heard this? I have to rob Paul to pay Peter. Not that I'm telling you to go rob anybody. I'm not asking you to be thieves, but you've heard the saying. You know what it means. Well, I have to pay the car note, but the rich do, so I got to take from the car note and pay the rent. And so you're here, and it becomes a real fear when the phones ring or when the letters come or the knock on the door. The fear of that collector or that repossession that is there is real. And it paralyzes you. And it causes you to freeze. Some of you are oppressed because of what people might think of you. You remember I told you this a couple of weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, that fear and worry is interest paid on problems that have never arisen yet. Many of you are afraid to do or to try or because of what people may think of you. Well, if I get involved there, what will they think? And you're afraid. You're afraid to try. You're afraid to... Listen, the greatest failure of all is to do nothing at all. And you're oppressed by this, and you're paralyzed by this. And some of you are afraid of what tomorrow will bring. You're afraid of the future. Now listen, this future deal, it's a simple thing to take care of right now. First, if you know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you know who holds tomorrow. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and say, Pastor, I don't know about my tomorrow. Pastor, I don't know where I'm going to spend tomorrow. If I was to go off of this earth, leave this life as we know it as life, and we entered this place that they talk about as eternity. Yes, there's eternity. There's life after death. It's appointed that a man wants to die, and then after this, there's the judgment. The Bible teaches us that if we are in Christ and we die, we are immediately in His presence. But if we don't know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we die, we leave this world without Christ, dear friend, we have met our eternity, and that eternity is complete and total, forever, everlasting separation from God in a place called hell. This can be fixed. This can be fixed right now. I would love right now to stop the message. If somebody would say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but I've never trusted Christ as my Savior, and I'm worried about that. Dear friend, we'll have somebody stop right now and take the Word of God and present you with salvation through Christ and Christ alone, not through our church, not through this pastor, but through what God said. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the future, we can take care of the future as far as eternity. There's many Christians. You have trusted Christ with your soul, but are worried about your tomorrow. You have put faith and trust in the God of heaven, the sovereign God of the universe, that will keep your soul and take you to home to heaven when you die, but you are afraid of tomorrow. The same God of yesterday, the same God of today, is the same God of tomorrow. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You have no fear of your future if you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, because He's always with us. The Bible teaches us in Matthew, in the latter chapters of Matthew, that all power is given unto Him. And He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Amen. So our future, dear friend, the fear of our future, we can take care of if we only look to the Word of God. Look to the Bible. Look to the Scriptures. Look to our relationship with Him. So what is it about you? Each and every one of us. I'm not talking about frogs or crickets. I'm not talking about little bitty snakes. I'm not talking about your fear of alligators. I'm talking about things that are troubling your mind and your heart and robbing you of the peace, love, and joy of your relationship with God. Listen, I'm like all of you. Different. I don't want to pull down the beds and my sheets and my covers and put my feet down in there and all of a sudden feel something slimy. I don't want to do it. But that'll pass. Even if it's a joke. Even if your kids have put something down in the bottom of your sheets down there. And that will pass. Pretty soon, once you stop sweating and you get your nerves under control, you'll be laughing about that. What is it that really grips you? What fear there is that really grips you and really holds on to you? And here's a question. What are you doing to overcome that? What are you doing? What are you doing as an individual to overcome your fears? Look at verse 3. Look what the Bible says there in Psalms 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You understand, dear friend, that faith and fear are opposites? What time I am afraid. The psalmist is not saying it wasn't the time he was afraid. He's done confessed to all of us in verses 1 and 2 that he was afraid. But in the midst of that fear, he says, listen, I'm not going to allow the fear to overcome my faith. He says, I'm going to trust in thee. Faith, dear friend, let me tell you something. The courage that faith brings us arrives right on time. The Bible says that God's grace is sufficient. So the grace of God, the faith that we put in God, and the trust that we put in Christ, and the Word of God in our life, dear friend, it's always right on time. C.H. Spurgeon said this, when faith is exercised, fear is banished, and the holy triumph of God follows. You know, the Bible teaches us that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Where does this come from? Where does this strength to fight these fears come from? The psalmist told us. Matter of fact, he told us twice here. Look in verse number 4. In God I will praise what? His Word. Look at verse 10. In God I will praise His Word. Where does this strength come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 17. Twice in this passage, the psalmist said, I will praise God in His Word. You know where faith comes? Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Word. You know, you understand why this world is so dogmatically fighting the Word of God in every aspect. You know why the devil wants the Word of God not to be used and learned and taught. You know why there's many religions that teach you that, hey, you don't need as a layman to worry about the Bible. You've got a man of God. He will teach you. Shame on any religion that teaches its people not to study the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that we are to study to show ourselves approved, not unto the man of God, but to show ourselves approved unto God. You are responsible, dear friend, for hiding the Word of God in your heart and to living according to Scripture. And the Bible here has told us twice that the psalmist said, I will praise His Word. I tell you, the Word of God is absolute. The Word of God is a necessity for the Christian life. It's not a coulis that you sprinkle on some kind of dessert. This is the main course. This is the main course that you are to eat. The Word of God is like food to be devoured and to hunger and to thirst after righteousness and to study it. And the psalmist said, I will praise His Word. That's where you're going to find this strength. That's where you're going to find this courage. You're going to have to saturate your mind with God's Word. And let me tell you something. When you saturate your mind with God's Word, the faith that we gain from reading and living and studying the Scriptures, dear friend, begins to drive fear away. It's not giving us a spirit of fear. He's not given the spirit of fear at all. Matter of fact, he's given us his Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit might bring comfort. Look with me over in John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. Look at verse 26. Many of you are standing in great fear right now of decisions that are being made by the wicked hearts of men that are in power and women up in Congress and Senate and the president, the governor, and the mayor's office. And all of you stand in fear, and your fear originates to there. Listen, dear friend, wicked governments have existed for ages. They didn't just start, you know, when America was founded. I mean, you think about the Roman government, the Medes and the Persians. You think about, you know, as the emperor would speak, it was law, as it was written down. There was nobody to keep books and balance and checks. They cast Daniel into a lion's den for praying. Wicked governments have been around forever. But before ever government was any government was ever set up, God has and has always been, from everlasting to everlasting, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and finisher of our faith. God sent us a comforter. Look here at verse 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Faith, dear friend, fixes our hearts and mind upon God and drives fear away. So most of the time, as our fear originates mostly from distrust, wasn't it like Satan went in the Garden of Eden, tried to cause Adam and Eve to distrust God? Yea, have God said. That distrust cost them great fellowship with God. So as that distrust gets there and it's brought into our life because of that, the psalmist found that he didn't have to fear people. He had to trust God. And as whatsoever time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. He discovered in the end of all this here and in the trouble of his life, he discovered and discerned that God was much bigger and greater than any fear that he could ever have. Could ever have. Now, as we close this morning, is this a fearful time for you in your life? I can't answer that. You know, we do a good job at hoodwinking each other. We do a good job of hiding the reality of where we are in our life, in our Christian walk. So as I ask you this question, is this a fearful time for you? And only you can answer that. Only you. And you think about it. You ponder that thought. And then as you ponder that, I want you to turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Is this a fearful time for you? It was for the psalmist. The psalmist says daily. It was written there in chapter 56 of the book, Psalms 56. The psalmist wrote daily. Daily. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. I mean, you can say amen right there. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Why? What does it say? What's going on right here? Well, you've got to get it all in context. And if you look one verse forward, it says we love him because he first loved us. And then you back up and you begin to gather your thoughts and you begin to look. Look there in verse number 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Remember, the spirit shall come, the comforter shall bring and teach us all things. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 9, in this was manifest the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, listen to what it says, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. Go back to verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear that tormenteth, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. How is that love made perfect? Verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Listen to what it says, because as he is, so are we in this world. How is that possible? Because we are complete in Christ. We are complete, our love. There is no fear in love, but perfect, complete love. Where do you get complete love? The only place you're going to get complete love is through God the Father. And we're complete in him because we believe in him, not because we've done some great work or we're justified of being used or being part of God's family, because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. Since there is something in your life that is so fearful of a time for you that you feel like you're paralyzed. If you are saved, dear friend, you need to walk in Christ. Walk in the love of God. And that fear, and that you'll be completed in Christ. And he'll be working in you. But dear friend, if you're lost and without Christ, and you've never had a time where you, not your mother, not your father, but you as an individual have trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I beseech you and I beg you to respond in faith to God, for God loved you enough to pay your sin debt. And if you are saved, dear friend, and you're consumed by fear, understand, we have to be complete in Christ. Well, how are you complete? A daily relationship. Not just a Sunday morning. Listen, this Sunday morning Christianity is not going to get it, because listen, For some reason, I don't know if the devil's hoodwinked us or we think we got enough, but well, if I miss church on Sunday morning, if God comes back, I'm going to be okay. Oh no, dear friend. Being in church is not going to make you okay. Being in Christ makes you be okay. And if you're in Christ, you want to be where Christ is. And Christ died and gave himself to the church. So therefore, you want to be in Christ where he is. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. You want to be around the things and where God is. And it's important to you. And so you're complete. You're perfect. Your love is perfect in Christ. And each one of you know that we and I surely don't have a perfect love on my own. We're a respecter of persons day in and day out if we walk in our own flesh. We're selfish. But in Christ, in God, we get to the point where we understand what it says. Love your enemies. Ooh. See, it's easy to love our family. It's easy to love one another. But in Christ, in perfect love, we learn to love our even. Our enemies. Even our enemies. And the psalmist said there, when I am afraid, I will trust in them. Not that I'm never going to be afraid, but what times I am afraid, I am going to trust in the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pianist is coming. Brother Jim's going to lead us in the song of invitation. This morning, if you're here, you've never had a personal relationship, a time when you have committed your life to Christ and you've trusted Christ and Him alone as your Savior, would you please come? Let us take the Bible and show you. Well, Pastor Preacher, I'm a member of this church. I go here. I'm not talking about membership. I'm talking about a relationship. Are you in Christ? Can a man be in Christ? He said, well, amen. It's been good to be in God's house. It really has. This morning we have Brother Bill and Miss Jeanette Phillips. They are come and want to transfer their membership from First Baptist Church of Shady Spring, West Virginia. And then Brother Ray would like to come transfer his membership from First Baptist of Tiftonville. And they're here to present themselves for church membership. So can we have a motion to do so? Brother Carl and Brother Scott Venters, all in favor? Any opposed? All right, amen. Good to have these added to our church family. Y'all come by and welcome with a right hand of fellowship, and we're so thankful that they've made this decision. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, this isn't about getting saved. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. They've done what they could with their heart in Christ. They follow the Lord in baptism. Not about baptism. This is they're here to join themselves to work with a local body so that they can further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here without Christ, you need to trust Christ and Him alone. Not church membership, not baptism. I'm talking about the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. If you've never been saved, this morning, before you leave, would you come and just let us talk with you? Show you what the Bible says. It's an important step. For without Christ, you will spend eternity in hell. You will. When we love you enough, you say, Pastor, I don't like that. That bothers me. I know we live in a very offended nation, but being offended ain't going to prevent you to go to hell. You can be offended all you want, you'll still die and go to hell. I don't want to offend you. I love you. I just want you to know that Jesus is the answer. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We pray you bless, Lord, as we go work in the nursing home a little bit this evening. We come back, Lord, and have our vacation Bible school meetings and prayer time, Lord, and evening service. I just pray your hand to be upon it. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Bill and Sister Jeanette and Brother Ray coming, Lord, and presenting themselves for membership here at Lock Haven. We pray, God, we as a family would welcome them in, would love them, would help them along the way. And Lord, they'd be involved in what they can be involved in. We just thank you for this day. Thank you for being in the church today. In Jesus' name, amen.